What we have been talking about is profiting from the word of God. How to profit from God's word. It said from verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. Luke chapter 8. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And yet others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And he said, the other seed fell into the good soil. That's the one we all want to be or experience. And these ones grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great, that is, as that which was sown. And as he said these things, he will call out, he who has ears, let him hear. As he's talking, he said, look, decide which one you are. That's what it means when he says, who has ears, let him hear. Now, the interpretation he gave to that parable is what we are actually examining. And he said from verse 11, this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. Notice that it is the seed that is bearing fruit. It is not the people, listen to this, that are bearing fruit. It is what? The seed that is the word of God. I told you one of the things I love to talk about the most in life is the issue of the grace of God. Alright? And that's to let people understand something. That God's grace, listen, is that his word goes forth and acts upon you. One day a brother walked up to me and said, what does it mean? Somebody preached and said that you have to walk the word of God and make it work for you, you know. He came to me and said that, how do you do that really? And I told him, I said, really, you cannot act upon the word of God. The word of God acts upon you. Are you getting my point? That you don't walk God's word. The word of God walks upon your life. Now, what we try to do a lot of times, of course, which we perfectly understand, is that, we want people to obey the word of God. That is true. But what I try to teach is for Christians to understand that obedience to God's word is a matter of faith. Let me explain what I'm going to explain. That is, you know, I was sharing with some brethren a few days ago, and in fact, the same thing that's inside that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I said, one of our brothers used to be around here, and he still keeps in touch with us, all right, from where he is right now. We're talking. I said, the reason why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, is that because sometimes people look, you hear that God spoke to Abraham and said, go and sacrifice your son, your only son. And you wonder that, if it were me, will I be able to do that? You will hear that one day they asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down or they will burn. And they refused to bow down. And then you will wonder that, if it were me, will I be able to do that? Are you getting the point? That all those things come to our hearts and we wonder that, look, what is going on? Are you sure I will be able to do that if I am the one that is being, that's put under that thing? And that's why I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. And what I was explaining it is this. It is not those people that did those things. Please, I want you to understand. It was God working in them that did those things in their lives. You see, that's how God is. You know, what God wants to do. In fact, I read the story again today. I was reading a book I'd read before, Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. And that book really blessed me. This short bit of it, I was trying to quote, there's a story of him telling in them. And that what happened with Ben Carson, is what I'm trying to say. Actually, I've had that experience twice in my life. Two times in my life, I've had this experience that Ben Carson had. And I want you to listen to this. If you have not read that book, go and read it to help you. Gifted Hands. When he entered into, the med school, or pre-med, I think it's a med school. He said he realized that all his life, what he's been doing was that he would play the whole semester. Before the exam, he would crash the, reading. And because being a smart fellow, he will always do well. Now, we entered the school and the best of the best were gathered with him. And he began that same habit. Before they did chemistry exam in his first year, he realized that things were bad. He didn't know what to do. So, well, the Holy Spirit used the opportunity to remind him of what his life has been. That is what all you have been doing, all right, is reading at the last moment. Reading to pass and not reading to learn. And I've said that to my students several times. I said, forget about exams. Exams are not important. You know what you need to do? Read to learn. Then the exam will just show whether you learned or you didn't learn. Do you understand my point? Rather than trying to pass, in which case you may not pass, And even if you did pass, you really don't know anything. You just managed to pass. And I know many people, I can start mentioning them, some of them specialists, who managed to pass but didn't learn. One of them walked up to the way he trained when he wanted to go to America. I know it's Americans, they're not too concerned about your certificate. They want to know what you can do. And he realized that I am going to be exposed when I get there. So he went back to go and try and start learning again. I said, this is what you should have done when you had the opportunity. Though he managed to pass, they said, well, you can learn the tricks of passing an exam. Do you understand the point? But that's what the good Lord helped him with at that particular point. So he repented. This is where I'm going to. He repented and said, God, I will never do this again. All my life, I've always wanted to be a doctor. Please, I need to pass this exam. You will help me. He had just a day to go, and he started walking, a day or two. He was working hard and working hard. He said, the night before the exam, he fell asleep while studying. Now, this has happened to me twice, something similar to this. More than twice, actually, but two very dramatic experiences. In his sleep, he had a dream. He said, and one shadowy figure entered into his it was in class. And one guy just walked in and began to teach. Do you understand? And the fellow would ask questions and he would teach and he would teach and he would teach. And he tried to follow the whole thing. Then, after some time, he woke up and realized it was a dream. But all the questions and answers that the guy taught, he remembered. The ones he couldn't remember, he picked up his book and cross-checked the answers. He walked into the exam the next day, opened the question. It was exactly the same things that man taught him in the dream. He said he knew it was a special manifestation from God. And he promised God, listen to this. When I read it again today, I said, God, this is what we try to teach people. He said, God, I will never put you in this kind of situation again. That is, he didn't go bragging. Now, you know, most of all are going to brag as if you're a man of faith. What did he do? He said, God, thank you. But I will never put you in this kind of situation again where you have to bail me out with this kind of, you get my point, emergency procedure. He said, of course, he backslid a bit from his dedication, but generally, he improved the rest of his days, all right, in that med school. Now, why I told the story is that he tells me something again. He helps me illustrate this thing. That it is God that's at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That God is not looking for a strong man. For me, when I read the book, I said, you see, you know why God helped him? Do you know why God helped him? Because he went to God and said, I have sinned. You know the prodigal son spirit? I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to pass this examination. Are you getting what I say? That's it. The centurion looked at Jesus and said, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. Sometimes we need to take a very lowly state. And that's a matter of fact. So that God can help us. A lot of times we are too proud. I've said to you several times, a lot of us, what we think, you say, Pastor Banky, there you go again. Yes, I have to go there again because this is a very serious matter. A lot of us, when we want to pray, what we say is, God, I have given. God, I have paid the tithe. You are owing me. God, say, all right, we'll see the court that we set to when I don't give you anything. Carry me to court. Have me arrested. That it will come bragging. I have done everything. Now is the time for my breakthrough. Because you are the one that decides. Okay, I won't give you the breakthrough. Come and arrest me if you can. Do you follow my point? Let me say it again. What are servants of God supposed to do? No matter how much you have given, do you understand my point? You will go and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give. Father, I thank you for the privilege that you have given me money and you've given me the heart to give. Do you understand my point? I thank you. The more you give me, the more I will give. Thank you for that opportunity to walk with you in life. Amen. And leave that point. If you have a need, go and say, Father, I have a need. Don't tie the two together. Do you understand what my point? We have to learn to come to God humbly. That's the point I'm making. The man went before the Lord humbly and said, God, if you don't help me, you know I'm a dead man. The Lord said, I know. And you know why you got into the situation of becoming a dead man? You were too unserious. He said, Lord, I will never do that again. I will never put you in a situation, all right, where you will need to help me like this. He didn't even know what God was going to do until God did it. When the results came out, of course, he was amongst the best. That thing has happened to me several times, all right, in life. I remember, in fact, let me quickly give you three. some of you may have heard about two of it before. When I was going to do my final exams in surgery, when I was in, as a medical student, I remember this one very well. I didn't have a dream, I didn't have a revelation, but this was what happened. There was a lot of crisis in our school, all right? And because of that, you know, those days, the VC just, you know, today they'll shut the school, tomorrow they'll open the school. And this particular day, the school was closed. And the provost of our college said, the school can close, but I'm not closing the medical school. So your postings go on as usual. The dean announced to us that postings go on as usual. Yet we're driven from campus. So we had to be looking for where to stay here and there. Well, I wasn't comfortable, all right? I couldn't find a comfortable place to stay. So after a while, I just got up and went home. That school is closed, I'm going home. Meanwhile, this was my final year. I was supposed to be doing my surgery postings, and school was closed, but they said postings continue despite the closure of the school. Better set yourself out. I tried. I wasn't being lazy. I tried, and I couldn't. So I had to go home. When school opened, I came back to school, went back into the hostels, all right? And then, but except that by that time, I had less than 4 weeks to the main exam. I had missed about 4 weeks of posting. I had just maybe about 3 weeks ago to go. Because, of course, they didn't apply all the rules of all the sign-up because of all the crisis. I still had to take the exam. And to make it worse, something happened. Most of our lecturers were very busy doing some things. I don't know what was going on that time. So a lot of our teaching was done by senior registrars. And the unit I was in, I disliked the guy who was our senior registrar. I'll come for word round. I'll look at my friend. Oh boy, look at who's teaching. Let us go. Oh, just walk away. And there was a reason. I don't have time to give you all the details. There was a reason why we didn't like the man. We felt like, what does he know to teach anybody? Is he a serious person himself? We just go away. Cut a long story short, the day the exam came, we were not very well prepared. I wasn't. I tried my best. I tried to read. The main issue was going to be the clinical work, not the written work. That's the one that was going to be a problem for me. And I remember that night, I read. And I decided to go and visit. I remember one of my friends, she and her husband in Asaba now, also a medical student, but junior to us. I just threw down to Anne's room. In fact, I met another of my friends there, sitting there. I bet all of them were looking for encouragement. So together we sat down there, we just a small, we chatted. After a while, I got up and left. Instead of going back to class, it was night now. So I remember I climbed up to the top of block A. Either block A or block B, hall 3. School was essentially quiet. We were just medical students around now. And I stood there and I prayed. I said, God, please help. And I asked him I made a simple request. I said, you know, we have this difficult professor, Professor Ofuegbu. I said, God, please, I don't want to meet him in the exam or he will fail me. As soon as I finished saying it, I said, no, I'm very sorry, Lord. I don't care who I meet, I want to pass. Then I said, all right, I don't want a case of hernia. Because hernias are considered very simple. That if you make any blunder, you must be an idiot. Do you understand my point? So I wanted a difficult case so that if you make blunders, after all, you're just a medical student, you're just graduating, your first degree, you can't know too much. So I said, Lord, please, make sure I don't get a hernia tomorrow in the clinical exam. Then immediately I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. Hernia or no hernia, I want to pass the exam. This is the manifestation. Next day I went for the exam. My patient, hernia, my examiner, Professor Ofuegbu. Do you understand what I'm saying? God just packaged the two of them and gave them to me. As soon as I saw them, I said, all right now, God, I know you answered that. You were there yesterday when I was praying. This couldn't have been a coincidence. Let me summarize it for you. By the time the exam was through, the only comment he had to pass was, that's my boy. Very good boy. That's my boy. I'm serious. When I left, I remember I was shaking my head. One of my classmates, a sister also, Cynthia, I remember she was waiting for maybe her own exam as I walked by. So the door was shaking my head. He said, Banky, how did it go? I couldn't answer. I was just shaking my head. Like, God, you're too much. Do you understand my point? The other experience I had, I mean, different ones. I don't have time to give you all the details. One, I was going to walk into an exam, and we're supposed to answer 5 questions, and I read 4. The last 4 topics I read before walking in was 4 out of 5. They gave us 3 hours of was biochemistry. I spent 2 hours 15 minutes. And this was the subject I disliked the most amongst my 3 third MBA, second MBA exams. Anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. I disliked biochemistry. But then, I still remember very well. A few days before that, I told the Lord that, Lord, you know, you can't leave one. You got to know everything. I need help because I just didn't like this subject. I wasn't being lazy. I just didn't like reading it. Do you understand my point? And I remember that day, I told the Lord, I will stop saying that biochemistry is volatile. That was my problem. I felt that you cram all these equations, after tomorrow, all the formula, you forget them again. So I said, I will stop saying that this course is volatile. What I'm just going to do is I'm going to study, I'm going to divide the time equally, because I just refuse to read it. I'll read anatomy, read physiology, but chemistry now, I'll refuse to read it. It's not interesting. So I said, Lord, I will start reading it regularly and I will stop saying it is volatile. And this was what happened. As soon as I made that dedication, I went to class, sat down beside my classmate and friend, Oluwakayode. Oluwakayode said, man, this biochemistry now, wow, the course is so volatile. That was what he used to welcome me to class that evening. And I looked at him, I said, biochemistry is not volatile. I repeated it again. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. Then I said it the third time, biochemistry is not volatile. Like, be careful, oh. The guy wondered. I said, like, what is going on? What's all of this shouting on me because I made a comment? Now, that was the subject that when I was going for the exam, 5 questions. But we had 8 questions. Take any 5 you like. I read 4 before I walked in. 4. I just went in there. All the equations, all the formula were just standing in my head. They were just standing. Put everything down. 45 minutes to go, I said, something must be wrong. I started all over again to be sure. But that was like 25-30 minutes to go. I just got up, dropped the paper, and walked out of the hall. That was how the Lord gave me the breakthrough. My postgraduate exam, that one I walked in, I dreamed like Ben Carson. That somebody sent me a question paper, and I read out question number 1. I couldn't see the rest. I walked into the exam next day, 3 days or so. That was what happened. The same way played out in the dream. Looked at question number 1. It was what I dreamt of. And I told my friends. So the guy sitting beside me, Onikoko, the guy looked at me, Taufik, he's a Muslim. He looked at me like, what? After that, I got a name, Joseph. Joseph, who went to the department, said, Joseph has come. The next exam I went for, and he came, he said, Joseph, any dream, anything for us? You're getting the point I'm making. I'm just, why did I even tell all this story? See, God is alive, all right? He is. You see, mistake a lot of people make is that you can't go to God and demand such manifestations. I like the way Ben Carson said it. He said he went to God after the manifestation and said, Lord, thank you very much. Let me make a promise. I will never put you under that kind of situation again where you have to build me out last moment. If those of us who don't have sound teaching, we don't have the correct principle of God in our heart, you know what we think? That this is a great man of faith. Check out the manifestation in his heart. No, it was a humble man who came to God. Do you get the point I'm making? It was in his humility he came to God and God solved the problem for him. Please follow what I'm saying there closely. So because we're reading this, there is the word that acts. And God takes his glory completely and doesn't share with anybody else. The reason is because he's the one acting in your life. Do you understand my point? I told those stories to let you know that when people go to God humbly, do you understand my point? With sincerity, the word of God. Look, listen, that guy was a smart guy. But God showed to him that, look, if I don't help you, you would not be helped in life. Do you follow the point I'm making? God showed to him that I'm still the God that works in your life. God, look, read that book if you haven't read it before. You will see that this man, renowned neurosurgeon, but he said one of the things he always used to tell because he operates mostly on children. What he would tell the parents of the children before he goes in for surgery, or the last time he's seen them before the day of surgery, say, one last thing, do you know how to pray? I think you should pray. He said, I don't say it for any other reason than the fact that I believe seriously that those prayers do have an effect on what I do. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, so I'm bringing all of these things to bring out the issue that God's word works. Are you getting my point? And I said something last time, let me say it again. It is not possible. I need to say this clearly. It is not possible. Let me say it one more time. It will never happen that you will walk with God. I didn't say run or jump or jerk. I mean what? Walk persistently and continually in truth with God in life and it will fail you. David said, I have been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg bread. Look, you see, the pressure in my heart these days is to get people to understand that what they need to do is to walk with God. What we have been doing a lot of times is that we like to pray. I don't know whether you can hear me say. We like for somebody to lay hands on us and turn our situation around. And people advertise it. Come for your emergency breakthrough. After tonight's anointing, your life will never be the same again. I make bold to say it. 99 out of 100 of those people, nothing changes in their lives. Nothing. Because what changes the lives of people is that constant walk with God. Do you get my point? Let me tell you clearly. It is not possible. It is not possible that you will walk with God continually. I don't care the number of people that don't like you. I don't care the amount of curses that was upon all the descendants of your grandfather. I don't know whether you get what I want to say. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Men who don't succeed because somebody cursed them are not Christians. Do you get my point? Listen, people who fail because somebody is against them and somebody is praying against them and somebody is making sacrifices against them, those who fail for that reason are not believers. I don't care. Maybe they go to church, but they are not Christians. Because there is no enchantment against Jacob. You don't get what I'm going to explain. Nobody, I say it boldly, anybody who wants to try it, who's a witch, let him go home and cry. In the name of Jesus, he won't live for 12 hours after that. He can't. Because the power that is working on my side, it kills people. You know how little mercy it shows. You don't know why Christians go and I'm believing that there's somebody's worrying me. Nobody can worry me. Nobody can worry me. Nobody. Nobody can worry me. Anybody who thinks he has the power to worry me, let him go. I say it on air. Why have they not tried it? Because indeed they can't. Nobody can worry me. I'm not afraid of anybody. I don't know what's wrong with Christians. Are they crazy? The problem is that they don't have sound teaching. They don't have sound teaching. That's their problem. Let me tell you something about Christianity. We don't get the point. God, listen. The first time Lexus was released. How many of you know Lexus? Toyota decided to enter into America and compete with them Cadillacs, BMWs, Mercedes-Benz for the American market. The high-end cars, they were tired of selling only small cars. So they released the LS400. And the ES300, those were the only two cars they released at the first two Lexuses, the big LS400 and the small ES300. When I read the time they released it, this is what I want to say. They gave the number of engineers, the number of man hours that worked. They worked for like 11 years. It was not overnight. They plotted for that vehicle for about 11 years. They said, imagine that about 10,000 engineers, this number of designers, they gave all kinds of figures that they worked for 10 years. At the end of the day, they came out with only two cars. What do you think the cars would be like? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That was how they introduced the LS400. That Toyota was telling you, listen guys, we came out prepared. I mean, they tested the LS400, filled wine glasses, all right, to the brim with champagne and start the car, and the thing doesn't spill. I remember they designed the engine so much that without a muffler, the engine doesn't make noise. They now put the normal silencing system there. The car was hyper quiet. And they introduced it at less than $40,000. That is, you had no reason not to buy a Lexus. Because men planned for 10 years. Now, let me tell you why I've told you all of that. In the beginning, God looked and prophesied to Satan and to Eve. He said, the seed of this woman will bruise your head. Are you getting my point? The next 4,000 years, God brought out a whole nation so that he might bring out one person, Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, he brought out that Jesus Christ and said, this is the Lamb of God that solves all the problems of the world. And you are telling me he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Toyota can make Lexus after 10 years of planning. And the good Lord planned for centuries. In fact, he said, this is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Listen to me. That blood is powerful. Do you understand my point? Let me tell you something. What God did in Christ Jesus is so radical, do you follow, that men can't comprehend it. So bad, in quotes, you know what I will say bad now, is it that for Paul to explain it was difficult? I read a book, Set Free to Stay Free. It said, if you have not yet confused the gospel of Christ, all right, with lawlessness, you don't understand it yet. No, I'm bringing out something. That when God wanted to, listen, you know, I'm a Nigerian. I'm a black man. If you don't believe it, at least this, my skin is not painted. This is the way God made it. I'm a real black man. Not only am I from the black race, I'm black. Yeah, you get my point? So their problem, black man problem, they concern me. And I can tell you for sure, black man been get problem. He been get problem. Indeed, he had witches, and he still has wizards. They packed all the evil that they know how to do and put in a nation called Haiti. Haiti is still the poorest nation on the earth today. Why? Because of all the devils that black men know how to serve, they concentrated in a small place. They called it Haiti. Are you getting my point? Therefore, poverty is there. Disease is there. They appointed the Reverend Father president. The man turned out to be an evil man. It was not his fault. While he was serving sacrament in church, all things were equal. When he entered into government office, all the evil spirits came after him. Black man being get problem is not a joke. Are you getting my point? But what am I saying? This is what I am saying. That the solution to the problem of that black man. Do you follow my point? The solution, when Paul wanted to describe it, he said this is the mystery that was hidden from ages past. Peter said these are the things that angels wanted to look into. I don't know whether you get my point. That the prophets who prophesied about them, they said, hey, what are we talking about? The angels said, relax, it's not for your time. The spirit of Christ in them says, it's not for your time. What am I saying? The solution to all those problems. If Haiti indeed believes in God, listen, in a few years, you won't know the difference between Haiti and America. What am I saying? The solution to all the problems of life is called Christ Jesus. Listen, my experience in the last few years of teaching the gospel and observing things in life is this. I have discovered that the reason why we don't experience the power of God is because we actually don't believe it. Listen, we actually don't believe the gospel. We go to church, I know, we don't believe the gospel. I know we pray, but truth is that we don't believe the gospel. I told you there was if I mention the name of the church in this town, all of you will shout. The prayer group was invited to a house because a man who was bereaved was their member and his wife died. And they all helped him during the funeral. So he invited them, being a well-to-do man, to his house for dinner to say thank you for all your effort. And they all refused to go. That the witch he used to kill his wife is still there. They don't want to die. And this was a prayer group of one of the biggest Pentecostal churches in this town. The prayer group. And you think those guys believe the gospel? They don't. They don't. Yet every week they are in church. Hey, galabolo, galadudu. Hey, go, 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 go. Hey, Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Musubushi. He said they are speaking in tongues. That are nonsense. They don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. A friend of mine who really believes the gospel, one day went to visit one of his uncles. He laughed. He told me, he said, his mother said, don't go there. Don't get there. Those are the people who killed your father those days. Because his father was late, died many years ago. He said, no, Allah. When they sat down, they served him food. He ate it. He was full, rubbed his stomach, thanked everybody very well and left. Because indeed he believes the gospel. You can kill my father. Believe me, most likely they didn't kill anybody. Do you understand my point? You know, Africans, we like to blame people for everything. Do you understand my point? I'm not saying people don't kill people, but most of the time it's a lie. When they can't find a cause, you have to blame somebody. Just have to blame somebody. Just have to blame somebody. One day I did an autopsy on a child who died from typhoid fever. 3 girls were in police custody. Because after the girl died, the father went and said, 3 girls, because they were students in a school. So they fought her 6 weeks before. You hear what I said? 6 weeks before that they fought her, the girl died 6 weeks after. I was very irritated. I dragged the man into the autopsy room. Come on, look. That's what they call typhoid fever. I was very angry with him. I know he was bereaved, but I wanted him to see sense. What's wrong with you? This girl was sick for days. If I was angry with the police, all you needed to do was walk to Mother on Christ and read the case file. And you will see that there's no assault or anything. This girl was just sick. I said, but it's the typical African mentality.
You want to blame somebody. But this is the point I'm making. In that particular situation, my friends, I don't give a damn. He sat down there. Now, some of these things, I tell you that some of these gospels, I'll be embarrassed to air a message like this in a country like America or somewhere in Europe. Because I wonder, they'll be looking at me like, look at what this man talking about. This, do you understand my point? We are too preoccupied with silly things. One girl came to visit a boy when we were on campus. And she brought food. Of course, she had her intention. She liked the guy. She wanted to warm herself into his heart back. They used to know those days. Of course, typical African people. All of them refused to eat the food. And some brethren who believed the gospel, listen, who believed the gospel, they walked up there. They said, what's all this food lying down around? And they told the story that, forget me not, they inside. Oh. If you chop them, you'll be in love. Oh. Do you understand my point? When he finished hearing the story, he says, is that all? They said, yes. The guy dragged the seat, sat down. He said, Father, I thank you. Wonderful provider thou art. The guy began, he tried to eat with three mouths. Unfortunately, he had only one. Took the banana, ate it. Took the rice, chopped it. Meat, put it down. We're just eating everything. Other people looked and said, man, this guy's enjoying something we are not enjoying. They quickly joined him, knowing that the forget-me-not will have entered his body. When he came to our room to tell the story, his friend who were living together said, ah, why didn't you call me? Because indeed they believed the gospel. I read an account in Full Gospel Businessman's Voice once. A man who listened, he was a witch doctor. This is not African superstition. He was indeed a witch doctor. And he knew how to run people crazy. Then he had conflicts with other witch doctors. Maybe people more powerful than him. And one day, he entered his house. He came out in the morning and saw a black cock and some eggs at his doorstep. And he said he knew what that meant, that he was about to go crazy. Maybe a man more powerful than him had made up his mind that I'll run this guy mental. Do you know what happened? He ran away from home out of fear. In that race, he met Christ Jesus and came back home one day. And they heard he was back, so they came to do the sacrifice again. Unfortunately for them, this time around, the guy had believed the gospel. And as God wanted to set him up, God ensured that he was broke. He did not have food to eat. He came out in the morning and saw cock and saw eggs and said, wonderful God, what great a provider you are again. The guy took the cock, slaughtered it, made himself a nice chicken soup that morning. Ate the chicken, fried the egg, and rubbed his stomach and was there to tell the story. That's how come I read it. Those are people who believe the gospel. They are those who claim they believe the gospel. They go to church regularly. They don't go to their villages. You know that? They don't dare go. They are afraid. Afraid that the witches in the village will do something to them. And they go to church. Oh, powerful titers, heavy givers, prayer warriors. They are everything except that they can't go home. If you are a person like that, hear me clearly. You don't believe anything. That's why I wrote that book, He That Believes. That you cannot claim to be a Christian and there's not something you believe that's affecting your life that we can notice. You talk like everybody else. You run up and down like everybody else. When you hear that dollar has gone, you too begin to cry. What's going to happen to us in this country? When you hear that the price of crude went down. Hey, Nigeria won't have a reserve again. Now the price of crude is going up. You say, hey, fuel will become expensive. Which one is your own? You don't believe anything. You don't believe anything. That's the point I'm making. You don't believe anything. And you call yourself a Christian. What am I saying? I found out Paul said, I want to come to Rome to preach the gospel to you. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen to what this. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you something. The fact is that most people these days, I testify concerning my brethren in Nigeria, don't believe the gospel. They don't. They only go to church. They don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. Do you get my point? What am I trying to explain? If indeed we believe the gospel, listen, it produces power. It produces works. We will find the release of God's power in our lives. That's what I'm talking about. Profiting from the word of God. Listen, 10 years it took a few hundreds of men, a few thousands of men to make two cars and they were so proud of it. I remember the advert of the next Lexus, the next generation they released after the first set, the GS300. I remember the advert very well. He said, drive to work. Then describe a perfectly bad day. Have sick meeting. Drink bad coffee. Argue with your secretary. Lost documents. Then drive back home. He said, not a bad day. That is, no matter how terrible your day is, just drive our car to work and back. You will find out that you had a good day. That's what men made. Yet God took time out for generations to prepare a solution to man's problem. And you are telling me that there must be something about it. That America is still better than Nigeria. That Europe is still better than Nigeria. And then I said, it is only like that when we have not believed the solution that God brought to poverty. Are you getting my point? When Jesus was released, you know what he said? The Spirit of God is upon me. He spoke and said, I have come to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what he meant? The year of Jubilee, in which every problem was written off. Listen, we will experience God's power. The problem is that we have not believed the gospel. Once in a while, I sit down and say, Banky, what exactly is it that you are doing? After meditating, I said, this is my job. Say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Are you getting my point? Listen, if the word of God is constantly declared to the people of God, and the people of God believe that word with a whole heart, listen, I said, God, you see, he may not give you a result overnight. That's why I'm discussing about this. If you're not here from the beginning, go and hear the first day. I said, those who received the word with joy, he said, those were those who sprang up quickly, but there was no depth inside them. Therefore, when persecution came as a result of the word, they withered. Therefore, they bore no fruit. Is it because the word did not have power? No! It was because it did not sink into their hearts before they started trying to act upon it. Do you get my point? Somebody comes and whips up sentiment and you perform every act. One man, one day, this is interesting. I don't know why I'm only talking about this money matter. Somebody came, preached a very powerful gospel to him. Said, if you want to receive the glory of God, you will give a dangerous offering. So he gave a very dangerous offering. A card that in today's valuation will value it at almost 20 million naira. Just went to the forefront and dropped the keys. Believe me, is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. I think if you can give up a car of 20 million naira for the gospel, it's a powerful thing. But if you are doing it because you want God to do something strange in your life, you are a crazy fellow. If you want to bribe God, forget it. Forget it. If you have not developed in your soul to where you can do godliness with contentment, then say, God, take this car. I don't want it anymore. I think it can bless somebody else. Let me sell it and use it to preach the gospel. If you can do it with what? Contentment. Not as if a trick to get something out of God. They say you will see the glory of God. A few months or years later, he called one of my friends and said, please excuse me. What does it really mean to see the glory of God? My friend came to ask me. I said, tell him to go and ask the man who preached the gospel to him. Why is he coming to ask me now? Or why is he asking you? Are you the one that preached it? Are you the one that preached it? Because he said, do something dangerous and you see something dangerous. My friend, get away. You want to see dangerous things, walk with God constantly and persistently. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Walk with God constantly and persistently. I was teaching yesterday, we were discussing, three of us, about 2 days ago. And the same thing I have taught you before, concerning this matter of seed, is the same thing I have said again and again, that when people bear fruit, it's with perseverance. Are you getting what I'm saying? That money is not a seed. Oh God, get my point. Physical things don't apply spiritual laws. Now listen to me. If you want to sow corn, what do? You put it in the earth, you put water upon it. Are you getting me? And then you wait for sun to shine upon it and fruit comes into your life. Do you follow that? Now, if you want to sow money as a seed, you put it into business. Are you getting what I'm saying? Go and buy shares. Fix deposit. Do whatever you want to do. Say, Pastor Frank, what are you saying? I am saying the seed of the spirit is spiritual. Therefore, I can show kindness. That's a spiritual seed. Do you understand my point? What is kindness? I can give money and it will be an act of kindness. I don't know whether you are following me. I will give money and it's what? An act of kindness. It is not the money that's the seed. It is what? The act of kindness. The kindness. Love is a spiritual seed. Get the point I'm making. Forgiveness is a spiritual seed. Patience is a spiritual seed. Perseverance is a spiritual seed. Godliness is a spiritual seed. There are times you will make a choice. Listen to me. They will say, just do small on godliness. You get a lot of money. Alright? If you don't do it, you won't get anything. And you will not do it because of the love of righteousness. And you won't get anything. That godliness is what? A spiritual seed. Do you follow my point? Therefore, you can't give naira to get naira. Because there's not a spiritual seed. The only place you give naira to get naira is in the stock market. It's in buying and selling. Spiritually, you give naira as an act of kindness. as an act of love, as an act of mercy. And when God wants to pay you back, he pays you the same thing. He that shows mercy, we obtain what? Mercy. Your own mercy showing me have been the giving of money, and God might deliver your only child as payment. He didn't give you money. He showed you mercy. He showed you mercy. Do you follow the point I'm making? So a man who gives because he wants to get, he has shown selfishness. He gets nothing. Because the act, you see, the thing behind what he's doing, the thing behind what he's doing is his seed spiritually. I'm teaching, no, really, I tell Christians don't believe the gospel. They perform all kinds of jokes, all kinds of acrobatics. I watch them and I laugh. See, this is not the gospel you're acting upon. That's why there's no power in it. Believe me. I'm believing God strongly for the mighty release of his power, that people might realize that indeed there's a God that is alive. That's why we are afraid of all kinds of people. Listen to me. The best thing God ever made is a Christian. Did I hear an amen? I'm not saying it because I'm a believer. I thought about it. Toyota, the best car they ever made that time was LS400. After many years of researching, God took all the years together and produced one thing. One thing. Christ Jesus. His death and his resurrection. Paul said, I don't want to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. He said, I want to come, listen, to Rome to do one thing. To preach the gospel to you. This is the power of God unto deliverance. What am I saying? The word of God has power. It will deliver us from all our problems, all our sicknesses, all our failures. If we will allow it to bear fruit in our life. That's what I've been preaching. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yes, that's what I've been preaching. It's the word that works by itself. The problem is that people don't believe it. He said they did not enter into his rest because of unbelief. That is, once God preaches the word, anyone who grabs it by faith will see the power contained therein. Paul said it is a power of God unto deliverance. It is a power of God unto healing. It is a power of God unto wisdom. It is a power of God unto direction. It is a power of God unto business success. That's what he meant to say, the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, Jew or Gentile. Do you get my point? I was watching TV the other day. They were gathering again, Christians United for Israel. I said, which kind of job that God didn't send these people are they up to again? Why don't Christians unite for Rwanda? Why don't Christians unite for the Arabs? Why don't Christians unite for the Nigerian? I think Christians should unite for Lagos. Because I heard that Lagos was voted the most difficult city on earth to live in. When I heard it, my heart broke. Somebody said, wait, that was before Fashola. That was before Fashola. Thank God, Fashola is improving it. Alright? But we need power and water for us to live the... Because they say even Mumbai, all those Indian cities, now better to live in than Lagos. The traffic is bad. There's no light. There's no water. I think Christians should unite for Lagos. That's what I'm saying. Why did I say that? I was telling my wife, I said, I think the American Christian is the greatest hindrance to the preaching of the gospel in the Arab world. I will write a letter to John Hagee and many of his friends. I say, brethren, answer me this question. If God were to stand there, you put an Arab in front of him and put a Jew in front of him, ask him which one of them does he love more. Ask yourself, what will he say? Because both of them are descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. And both of them are unbelievers as far as Christ is concerned. What's the difference? Yes, so. I said, look, I want to tell the American, you are the reason why the Arab can't believe in Christ. Because you gather together and say the job of the Christian is to support the Israelite against the Arabs. I know this is revolutionary talk amongst believers. I've had this argument with Christians everywhere. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew and the Gentile. The first to receive it was the Jew. Paul said, so to the Jew first. And then after that, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen, you can say anything you like. The solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict is faith in Christ Jesus. Until that, you can't convince anybody to stop shooting. And God, listen to me, God is not more in favor of one person than the other. The only person he favors is the kind person, the person of love. Are you getting my point? The person who walks in justice and righteousness. Not the unbeliever who rises up and says, Abraham is my father. I have a covenant in Jacob. And he doesn't believe in God. Gay marriage is all right. You get what I say? You take all the laws of Moses, throw it into the bush and said, I have Abraham as a father. When did we start preaching around that gospel that God, even Jesus can't recognize? I'm digressing. What am I saying? There is a power in the word of God. And if we will believe it, it works by itself. Let's continue reading. The book of Luke chapter 8. Let me quickly jump to where we were. He talked about the different kinds of seeds that didn't bear fruit. Those on the rocky soil, verse 13, are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no firm root. They believe for only a while. You see what I'm saying? When your faith is for a while, you don't get anything. Did I hear an amen? See, that's the problem. The faith that is for a while. A lot of people believed in Christ Jesus in university. As soon as they graduated, the temptations of life, they made them forget Christ Jesus. A lot of people believed in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something about faith in Christ Jesus that we are saying. You see, I said there are two levels to everything spiritual. There's a general level and there's a specific level. Do you understand my point? That, please, if you have not read that book, I'm encouraging you now to read it. He that believes. I described it there. There's a general faith that gets you to heaven. Nothing beyond that. I believe in Christ. Son of the Most High God. How does the Apostles' Creed? Anyway, you know the Apostles' Creed. Yes. I said, but God has a word to say about every issue in your life. Every single word. There's a word he has to say about your health. There's a word he has to say about your business. There's a word he has to say about your marriage. There's a word he has to say about your aging. Do you understand my point? Aging. Are you going to grow old? I remember the day, oh God, I bent over a stick. I was walking, I was playing. And somebody said, hey, that is Doc at 60. Sheesh. Woo. Ah. I said, what? He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed as the eagles. I will never bend. That's how I responded. Don't play that kind of rubbish play around me. There's something that God has to say. I told people, listen, let me tell you something about life. I said before that everything is a temptation, is a trial, is a distraction. Everything. God gave me a word. It's my personal word. You've heard it several times. It leapt onto off the pages into my face from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, I have persistently believed you won't change my mind. There's something he has to say about my prosperity. I don't care whether house the value of houses triple, go up 10,000 times in Enugu, I don't give a damn. I didn't have $1 million, when it was $1 million, I will have $1 billion when it's only $200 million. I believe it, and I believe it persistently. Listen, I will not die young. I will listen. Let me tell you the truth. And I'm not saying that I'll get up and start drawing up and down looking for where money is. I have located my assignment. Listen. Listen, there are two groups of people that God has given a job right now. Listen, this is what, listen, oh, God has given them a job right now. Two groups of people. He said, gather money, I want you to bless banking with it. There are two. They are the righteous and then they are the wicked. The righteous ones are gathering it out of love for God and out of appreciation for the blessing that the word that I preach has been to them. But there are some wicked people, God said, you steal money. I won't let you die. Steal, keep stealing. You're a thief, I know. Do everything you want to do. Build houses. Build the most expensive houses. Buy the most expensive cars. Then one day I will make you broke. That banking might buy it for 10 naira. Listen. Listen, let me tell you the truth. It's not just about me. I'm preaching about me. You sitting out there, listen. There are people that, you know, he said concerning Esau. Alright? Now you, concerning Jacob and Esau, he said your brother will serve you. That's Jacob. Told Jacob, your brother will serve you. Anyone who doesn't believe in the gospel of Christ has been created to serve the one who believes. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Anyone who doesn't believe has been created to serve the one who believes. Listen, God has a word concerning different aspects of life. I heard that word concerning prosperity. You know what that one did for me? Some people hear it and they stand up and are looking for money. I say, no, when I heard it, it meant banking. Don't worry about money. What do you do? Preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. The last few weeks, I've had a short break. You know, short break. Like, apart from Tuesdays and apart from Saturdays alone, I wasn't preaching more than that Saturday once a week. But generally, I preach on the average 4 times a week. Now, I'm back to it almost. Tuesdays, Saturdays, all right? I preach for radio separately. And then when you put all the under invitations, go here, go there, put them on the average, you find I preach more than 3 times a week average. I'm back to writing. Books will come out. Listen, it is not, the books are not designed. In fact, today I was meditating. It was as if I heard the Spirit of God say to me again. I was in NTA. As I was walking down the fields of NTA, I said, Banky, write this book. What's your problem? Write now. This is how people will read for generations and their brains will be corrected. I'm not writing a book to make money. If it is for money, it's a very difficult way to make money. You know that? It's a very difficult way to make money. Write a book to make money. Most authors don't make jack. That is why I'm not afraid to put books free on the internet. Download it and read it. I want you to read it. I want you to be blessed. Do you follow what I'm saying? My two groups of people, they are working. Some, they are righteous. Others are wicked. As long as I faithfully serve God, do you get my point? Yes, I'm sowing my own spiritual seed. By obedience, I told you spiritual seed is a spiritual thing. Physical seed is not a spiritual seed. It's what is behind you, when your heart, when you are doing that physical thing. You can't say because you need 10,000 naira, you're going to give 200 naira. That is a gift of selfishness. You know, there's a labor of love. And there's a labor of, I'm thinking about myself alone. But when you are doing the will of God, do you get my point? God is already arranging other things. You don't have to struggle about them. What am I saying? God has a word. Many people believe certain words when they were on campus. They left school and life showed them pepper. Because the word didn't sink, it was just a happening thing on campus. Amen, bro. Amen, bro. You know, there are many reasons people go to church. Some people go to church because it's a social thing. For some people, it's a business networking zone. I'm telling you the truth. If I don't go to that church, they won't give me contracts again. After all, the MD goes to that church. There's a church in Lagos those days. They had about 3 bank MDs. Those days, that banks were plenty. One single church. Come, sure, brethren went to church. They were ushers there who were waiting for bank jobs. You're welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. All they are doing is, okay, when I show up for the interview, forget me not to. There's one bro I knew in this Enugu. Anytime he sees you, first thing he does is to introduce himself as an usher in your church. He said, my name is so-so-so and so. I'm an usher. Yes, I wanted to tell you that I needed money. I said, okay, so the passport to bleeding me is that you are an usher. Oh, the Lord is good. But so because they are there for different reasons. So they are everything, everybody is happy, everybody is jumping. Finally, when they leave and they are on their own, somebody will come. That's devil. You know, there are different kinds of manifestations of Satan. Let me tell you the truth. That thing on campus doesn't work out here. Believe for a while. He believed for what? A while. For the 3 years he was in that fellowship on campus, he believed. During NYC, he began to not believe. By the time he began to look for a job, he forgot totally. I remember one of my seniors, when I was a house officer, looked at me, saw me carrying a Bible. He said, I see you're a Christian. I said, yes. He said, I used to be one too. I said, used to be, what do you mean? He said, I discovered that it wasn't worth it. I said, what was not worth what? What do you mean? What do you mean it was not worth it? You were paying money to God and he wasn't giving you back. Did he kill you before today and we are now in somewhere in purgatory discussing God didn't save your life? I don't know whether you're so honest there. I said, what was not worth what? He told me how active he was. He told me the kind of Bibles he had. I looked at him. I said, you never believed, Oga. Let me tell you the truth. You were never a Christian. But tell me what something wasn't worth it. Something was not worth it. A man who I had his reputation once about womanizing told me why. When he was on campus, he was the driver of their fellowship bus. He believed for a while. He This guy told me it wasn't worth it. At that time, he wanted to marry the guy who told me it wasn't worth it. And he had two girlfriends. And you know what I mean when an unbeliever has two girlfriends. Both girls only knew about them, so they didn't know about the other one. For information, he narrowed them down to the two. They were more than that. That was his ungodly way of finding a wife. Trimming them off one by one. Here and this one go quarrel. This one a bad girl. Finally, he was now waiting to quarrel with one. And the last girl standing will be his wife. That's the person telling me something was not worth something. I looked at him and said, God, you didn't believe anything. Forget this story. You forget. Because that I'm breathing alone is enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, it was not worth it. It was not worth it. I said, oh, your mates were partying on campus. You couldn't party. So you felt like you have given up something for God. I said, listen to me. Of course, your mates were sleeping around. They were enjoying themselves in quotes. And you didn't do that. And you felt God should pay you back something special. I said, listen, I'm saying to you now again, that sin is a poison to your soul. You did not eat sin and you said it was not worth it. Righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. No, you getting what I'm saying? People don't understand the deliverance that God has given to them because of righteousness. They said it was not worth it. That you have the mouth to look me in the face and say something, you are still saying it was not worth it. What if God had decapitated your teeth since? You don't listen. When they say righteousness delivers from death, it's a literal thing. It's not a joke. I was telling Kim and Chima the other the story that I've told you here before about the brother who told me that he's a member of my church, somebody I know a bit. One day we met at the mechanics place and we were just. He said, do this as a young man. He had this feeling, he doesn't know where it came from, that he wouldn't live beyond the age of, I think he said 35 or so, or 34, thereabout. Not sure, it's 30-something, 33 to 36, something around that area. And that the thing followed him around. And then every time he's inside the room, he will feel that there is a spirit behind, there's somebody behind him. And he will turn and there's nobody there. That this thing kept on following him around. He just knew. Later on, you know, thinking about it, I said that was the spirit of death following this guy, marking him down for the day he will kill him. And then one day he gave his life to Christ. He said that sense of somebody behind him disappeared. If I didn't know, just one day after a while, he looked back and said, oh, wait. I used to have this feeling that there's somebody behind me. It doesn't happen anymore. He said, but that one of that, he would not live beyond a particular age, never really left him alone. I said, you know the reason? It's because events have been set in motion. But watch the mercy of God and the righteousness that delivers from death. A few days to that birthday that he said we don't live beyond. He stopped, went out with a friend in the evening. They stopped at somebody's gate and a car just came parked beside them and one guy came out, aimed at him and fired. Two armed robbers who were running saw his car and wanted to collect it. They came to him, pointed their gun and fired. They didn't say anything. Come down, and they just fired. The owner of the car that they were dropping to pick up his own reported to the police that they killed the driver of the other car. It was when he and that fellow met at the police station that they said, no, I'm not dead, I'm here. What happened? A few minutes before that, his friend had said, wind down or wind up, one of the two, and he started winding the glass. Halfway through, he changed his mind and left the glass where it was. And when that thief aimed and fired, the bullet lodged in the mechanism that raises the glass up and down. That was where they found the bullet. 2 days before that age, he said, I felt I wouldn't live beyond. Ken Higgins said he married his wife and he knew that this girl is not going to live long. One day he had the vision of the Lord. Listen, ask my wife, after I married her, the first thing I did was to bless her and pray for her. Because I had read a lot from the Bible. That the Bible says that for 20 years after Isaac married Rebecca, Rebecca didn't bear a child, though, in case you did not know, it was 20 years. 20 years after Rebecca was married for Isaac. I said, why did it take 20 years? The Bible said that one day Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. I said, look at this man. Why didn't he do it from the beginning? He didn't know. I said, thank you for telling me ahead of time. At least me, now I know. I'm not going to wait for 20 years. From the beginning, I began to entreat the Lord for my wife's sake. And the Lord heard him and gave birth to Esau and Jacob. Kenneth Hickey said, one day I had a vision of the Lord. And he told the Lord, please, I have a question. There's a feeling that I've had that this girl is not going to live long. She's going to die early. And the Lord said, yes, you're right. She's indeed going to die as a young woman. Ah, he said, no now. He said, no now, that cannot happen. Number one, I like her. She's a good woman. Number two, she's the mother of my children. I'm the one putting 1, 2, 3, but these are the points he made. I said, Lord, you see, it takes time to train a good wife. And really, I know what I'm saying. It takes time for you to merge properly with your wife. You understand my point? He said, look, if you take her away now, I have to go and get another wife and start again. It doesn't work for the ministry. It's not good for this work. So the Lord said, so what are you saying? Ah, I don't want her to die. You don't want her to die? He said, that's it. It is done. She will not die. Before that time, she was already choking to death because she had what we call a retrosternal goiter. And she was afraid to go for surgery because she felt that she wouldn't come out of it alive. And the Lord confirmed that, yes, it was true. She wouldn't have come out of it alive. Why did she live till she was 80-something? Died a few years ago, about 2 or 3 years after her husband. An old woman, a great-grandmother. Why? Because Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. Are you getting my point? Somebody's telling me that it was not worth it. What was not worth what? That righteousness delivers from death. Listen, that the reason why that man could pray is not because anybody would just say, God, I don't want this person to die. God will say, well, who are you talking? Voices have level in heaven. No? I hope you know that. They have level. They have level. Go and read my tracts. Are we all equal before God? God looked and said, Jeremiah, easy. You think you can pray? Let me show you what they call prayer. Even if Samuel or Moses were to pray for these people, I wouldn't hear. You know what that means? There's a kind of potency. There's an anointing in the prayer of Moses and Samuel that Jeremiah had not yet even contacted. They're just a prophet. You haven't suffered for God. Listen, believe me, these are the things that give you weight before God. It's not the blood of Jesus. Listen, this is how it works. I told you that faith has two levels. You believe generally, and then God begins to test your faith at different points in life. And it's based upon the response each point time that you acquire weight in God's presence. He said, it was not worth it. I said, what was not worth what? That we can pray for a nation and that we are convinced that good will come into that land. You tell me it was not worth it. There are people who are angry with their father. If my father had been smart like his friends, they would have been rich. That's nonsense. The reason why he didn't die is because he wasn't smart. Do you understand my point? That you knew him long enough to call him your father is because he was not smart. If he had been smart like his friends, I like the testimony Divine gave in church. 5 young boys decided to do 419. He being amongst them. Then he gave his life to Christ. When the money arrived, he refused to share the money because he had been reconciled to God. He said, the day he was telling the story, he said, of all of us, I am the only one alive till today. And he's still a young man. All the other sharp guys were dead. Every single one died from various causes. What was not what? I looked at this man, like, what wasn't what? Are you out of your mind? Listen to me, serving God is always worth it. Obeying the word of God is worth more than you can ever imagine. David said, look, there are men who are filled with all the good things of life and they have handed it over to their children. He said, in fact, they are very prosperous. He said, but their portion is only in this life. That's why David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of iniquity, becoming a very rich man. That's what he was saying. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the... How can you tell me it wasn't worth it? Men believe for a while. That's what I'm talking about. They believe for just a while. A while. Just a while. A while. And they say it was not worth it. Listen, David said it like this. I have been young. Now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children beg bread. Your righteousness does not bless you alone. It blesses your children also. Look, listen. After I got married and I began to have children, I took God more seriously because I realized that, listen, it's not only me now. No. The way God did life, that's the way it is. Those children, they are sustainers. Listen, their intelligence, their ability to resist diseases, listen, their ability to live long, their ability to resist the challenges of life as young people, dependent upon my righteousness and that of their mother. We read the story. I was telling about Ben Carson earlier. I read that story. Good God gave me understanding many years ago. I finished reading the story. I said, this boy didn't prosper. It was the mother that prospered. I don't know what, I, you know what I'm saying. It was the mother that prospered. I read the story in between the lines. I said, wait. This is not Ben Carson. This is Sonia Carson. And that's the name of the mother. Or whatever. And this is not Ben Carson. This is the mother. Ken Hagin said, after he died, the first time as a young man, as he was descending down towards the pit of hell, and the voice spoke and brought him back to life. When he finally came back, he heard his mother's voice praying. It was his mother he heard praying. Are you getting the point I'm making? There's something was not what. There are nonsense. If God shows me a glimpse of what my children will accomplish, I say, Banky, the only thing I'm asking for is I drive a B2 all your life. I say, God, remove the tire self. You say, God, why go to a B2? Just give me one of these Suzuki's they're advertising. They ride out there up and down. Hey, I will make a name for you. The pastor that drives the Suzuki. Very humble man. Nala, I have seen a picture. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, the problem is men believe only for a while. Let's continue reading. I don't want to stay too long, all right? Luke chapter 8, let's continue reading. All right, he said, and in time of temptation they fall away, and they see which fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they were choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But this is where we are going, verse 15. And the seed in the good soil. See, that's what the only thing you can do. Make sure your heart is a good soil. The word produces by itself. Just make sure your heart is a good soil. He said, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. In what? An honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. And they hold it fast in the face of all troubles, in the face of all challenges, in the face of all trials. They hold it fast. He said, and they bear fruit with perseverance. And they bear fruit with what? With perseverance. Including men who claim they don't believe in God. I have found out that all successful men, materially speaking, I've read a number of books, all of them were lucky. They just refused to die in the time of trouble. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, it is not a joke when, it wasn't a joke when Robert Schuller said, tough times never last, but tough people do. I was reading the book of Iacocca, the story of Lee Iacocca, who was the president of Ford and then became the president of and chairman of Chrysler. The man was renowned for doing a lot of things, including turning Chrysler around. But I read in between the lines again. The man said in effect, let me summarize it. The only reason why Chrysler survived, all right, why Chrysler became a big company after he took over, a few years after he took over, was because the economic situation in the nation changed. And men began to buy cars again. So what did he do? The only thing he did for Chrysler was help them survive the trying times. What am I going to say? He did everything, including borrowing money from the government, which he paid back shortly after. But how did the company suddenly become great again? It wasn't because they did anything that fantastic. It was because they were alive when the economy turned. I read the same story, the similar story of Donald Trump. They made a single law. He became a poor man and was owing $4 billion almost overnight. Another $2 or $4 billion. So what did he do again? He negotiated and made sure that he didn't die. Then one day, things changed again and he began to move. What am I saying? Without perseverance, forget it. There's no life, there's no business that won't have trying times. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why I hate the marriage vow that does not say for better, for worse, and for richer, for poorer. In sickness and in the health. And no, I don't like it. For better, for worse. If they didn't give you that one when you married, carry your wife. Go and do it again. Let's repeat this thing. It is for better, for worse. Because worse times will show up. And they say, you're not working by faith. If it's for better, I say, you see, you don't have experience. You don't have sense. Those are the two things that's your problem. You never heard of the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. You don't get certain degrees of glories until you're ready to pass through certain degrees of suffering. The good thing about the suffering, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Listen, if you have strength in yourself, the suffering will be over before you realize you were suffering. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. It will be over by the time you realize, man, those were suffering times. Do you know if you put an average American in the situation I am in right now, he thinks he's suffering. My light is not... Yesterday, Nepal took light like 3-4 times. And I won't bath, I go carry bucket. You no, really, listen. You put an American in that situation, he thinks they're suffering. One day, I remember Digi, my brother and I, Digi, we were in the house. I was in Transekulu. My wife was not home that day. We just Digi and I were sitting in the house, we were watching TV, and they were showing Turning Point. You know the way they do programs? Coming up next. Coming up next, after this break. Can you imagine living without water for 24 hours? See a family that was without water for a lot. You know, Deji and I looked at each other like this. And without talking, we both started laughing and fell back. Like this. Next thing was, boo, boo. Both of us fell down and laughed. 24 hours. Ask me how many hours of my life I have seen running water. Even when one country was good, when I was young, much younger. I remember in our estate where I lived as a young boy, it used to flow twice a week. We knew when it was coming. You got ready for it. You got all the containers ready. And once it came, you fill all the containers and then plug the hose and put it into the reservoir. And then after a few days, it will come back again. What I'm not explaining is this. Some of the sufferings you will go through, right now you are suffering, just you don't know. That's what I'm saying. And there are certain sufferings you will go through because of the strength of spirit. Do you understand my point? You would not even know you suffered. But listen to me, trying times will come. It will come. There are times you wonder whether you really believe. Are you getting my point? But how do they bear fruit? The Bible says, they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. They don't change their minds because of what is going on. That's why people don't bear fruit. I have believed and there's no result. Maybe the thing is not working. Do you understand my point? I have believed, they said it will happen like this, but it has not yet happened. Maybe the thing is not working. So the person gives up. Listen, I said all the things I said to bring out an issue. The word of God works and it doesn't fail anybody. My experience is that most people who claim it's failing them, they don't believe it. They claim they do, but they actually don't. You want results overnight? It took God 25 years from the time he promised to get to the position where he could deliver Isaac for Abraham. 25 years. Abraham tried, he waited 25 years. No, he never waited for 25 years. He waited one day at a time. Sufficient unto the day was what? The evil thereof. Listen, they asked this man once, do you ever have a bad day? He said, no. Robert Shula. He said, why? He said, I have too much work to do preparing for tomorrow. So I never have a bad day. This was on Larry King. Now, what I'm trying to explain is this. There's so much hassle. There's so much work that God has given you for today. Do you understand my point? That if you focus on it, you won't know when 25 years will pass and the word of God will have been fulfilled in your life. Do you understand my point? Listen, I take myself as an example. Sometimes I sit down and I realize the amount of work I have to do concerning ministry and some other things I have to do. The work is so plenty, I don't think I should. Look, as long as God gives me food and a place to sleep, I don't think I have the time to worry about what will happen tomorrow. No, really, I don't think I do. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The reason why the time is long Eh? It's because you are waiting for it. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. You are waiting for it. That is like, hey, which day? Which day? Assume you want to travel now, you know? There was a time I wasn't around. Left my family for a whole month. About almost 6 weeks. And you go, they look calendar, you know, like you go, they count. My flight is on the 25th, and today is the 10th. 15 days to go. So you go, they look the calendar, they count. Do you understand? That's when it's very long. That's when it's very long. But if you carry the book, which was what I did eventually, and begin to write, great faith can be yours. Talk to your wife in the morning. That's her morning. It was night for me. And after that, you write. After the next day, you go to work. Write book. That is, you won't know when. If I want to say time to travel, you say, oh, the time don't reach. I don't know what I get my point. When you keep busy doing something. Oh, Joseph was in jail. And oh, God was very kind to Joseph. He gave him work in jail. Do you follow what I'm saying? He gave him work. The man was busy. And listen, I've said before, there's no boy that doesn't have work. There was a time that a friend of mine joked. He said, Banky, I heard you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. It was a joke. Not after you service. Was I jobless? Not really. I listened to gospel. Gosh. I read and read. That was when I began to read Oswald Chambers. That was when I read John G. Lake, read him inside out. That was when I spent over 500 hours listening to Bishop David Oyedepo alone. I've not counted the one I did with Kenneth Hagin, or Derek Prince, or the other men. Someone said, oh, you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. Ah, that, yes, it's true. I wasn't going to clinic. But truth was, I wasn't really jobless. There's no jobless person around. There's no child of God that is jobless. All you need to do, go and listen to that message again. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Just need to look around and find that God, there's something I'm supposed to be doing today. He says, sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. Let me read this scripture so I can close. Quickly, we read that one last time. Okay, no. Let's, I won't read it. I'll refer to it. Revelation chapter 1. But let's just read the last part of that, Luke chapter 8. He said, now, listen to this. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Because this thing is like that, in verse 18 it said, therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, there's a reason why I read this. You will notice something he said here. If you go and read that Revelation chapter 1, I talked about the fact that Jesus had stars in his hand, and there were lampstands, and the lampstands were the churches. And he said, if you don't do the work at the first, I will come and remove the lampstand out of the place. What does that mean? Lampstand means that's the elevation, the platform that God has given you to shine. Do you get my point? And it's saying here that if God plants his word in your heart, in your life, he said, no one lights a candle or a lamp and puts it under a bushel, but he puts it in a place where it can shine. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has a responsibility. If his word is in your heart, his light, he's working to build a platform for you so that you can shine. Did I hear an amen? What I've told you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let me tell you the job of Christians. You want to marry a good husband or a good wife? Don't go asking too many questions. You go and draw a list of the 10 fine girls in your church. And you start, you know, taking them out one by one to go and chat. How are you really like? What food do you eat? What are your plans for life? What do you really want to achieve? Job interview. The girl should stop you and say, oh boy, come. Wait. Did I come to you to apply for a job? What's your problem? What post are you offering? Wife, CEO of my home. Okay, I'm not interested. Then you go to the second one. No, listen, you don't need that. Did I hear an amen? Let me tell you what God does. God gives you a word of truth. Do you understand my point? A word of truth. Once you imbibe that word, concerning marriage. He said, good. Now he has light. We can't put him under a bushel. Therefore, we'll give him a platform. It's called the home, that he might shine with the light he has lent. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. I've been hearing testimonies. I don't want to mention names. There are a few testimonies. In fact, two of the testimonies are right here. When I finished preaching Christ and the Church, the foundation for marriage as a believer, when I finished doing that series, a number of people caught revelation, and those revelations have borne fruit. When men heard the truth, all right, it gave, now that's the way it works. It gave them what? A platform. When you hear a truth, in fact, my good example, you know, that my woman, Mary Kay, she had the word in her on how good business should be done, and then God gave her Mary Kay cosmetics that she might manifest for the world to see. Before you embark on anything you want to do in life, don't just start doing something. No. Settle down, imbibe the truth. It's the word that is inside you that God gives a platform to manifest. Kingdom World Ministry is not about how to organize and how to make a name for yourself. It's whether Pastor Banky has a word to preach or he doesn't have a word to preach. Are you getting the point? Maybe I should continue developing.